We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I told our producer, Spencer Hall, if you could, please. And he was like, what? What? Bum Chillips. And he's like, oh, and everything just, it all clicked. He is one of the single greatest Twitter followers there is. He's one of the leading voices in any college football conversation these days. I just saw a delightful back and forth with another one of our favorite guests here on the show, Bomani Jones. And he is a proprietor of one of the single greatest beards in all of America. He's nice enough to join us this afternoon. Thank you very much, Spencer, for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing excellent. Thank you so much. You know, we are in San Francisco, a decidedly pro town. It is Cal always trying to stay relevant, and they usually last a couple weeks. Didn't even make it past Nevada in week one this week. But all of a sudden, Stanford goes down to L.A. and slays the beast in such dramatic fashion that we got a big shakeup on West Coast college football. USC is looking for a coach. And with that, it's kind of where we want to begin our conversation today and then take it much broader with just the landscape that is shifting all around us. What do you think of the USC opening? It obviously ain't what it used to be, but do you believe it could be again?
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason that, like, the aberration for USC is that they're bad. Like, that's, you know, like, other teams lose to Stanford in week two, and nobody gets fired because that is a respectable loss for everybody but USC. USC, I'm most amused by getting to week two after seeing the same thing you've seen out of Clay Helton for years and years and years, and then going, no, this milk is bad.
It's been bad for a while, at least in terms of the alums and the boosters. Did they finally just storm Mike Bone's office and say, get rid of him now? Or was it going to be the first time they don't look good, I'm just going to gas him?
I think the thing that happened, and this is important, that they put their best recruiter as the interim head coach, and in doing so, really sort of sent a signal that where they were failing most was on the trail. And the first excuse that they had in order to get rid of him and keep the recruiting class that they were building intact, while also going out and shopping a coach, that was why this happened in week two, because the biggest failing on Helton's part was recruiting. That's it. So keeping the interim, who is their best recruiter in, says, yeah, what we need to do is we need to go ahead, hold this class together, get a big name so that we can continue recruiting forward into 2022 and 2023, and then we'll have things going again, right? Which isn't going to get any easier because UCLA across town apparently has things together.
When will Urban Meyer take the USC job? And if, in fact, he's telling the truth when he says he's not interested, when will Urban Meyer take the USC job?
Well, I think a great place to start here is by discounting Urban Meyer as a source on Urban Meyer from the start. So we can just throw him out. That's not who you want to ask about Urban Meyer. It's a better place to start and say, if you were Urban Meyer, would you be interested in the USC job? And for me, that's a no-brainer because historically, USC has been awesome. Situationally, you're in the middle of a massive metropolitan area that still plays football and still really likes the sport. And if you come in, you're going to have an incredible recruiting pitch that tops pretty much what anyone else is going to be able to throw in there. If you're Southern Cal talent and we come to you and we say, hey, we got a good head coach, right? Let's just assume. Let's assume good head coach. I know that's a big assumption given the job searches and the results at USC over the past decade or so. But let's say, hey, we got a guy who's got guaranteed success in developing talent. And remember, that's another thing, too, where they've really failed. They failed to develop talent. They failed to take the good recruiting classes that Clay Helton had, right? Like in years 2 and 3, where they were top 10 nationally, where they were bringing in guys that everyone else wanted. And they didn't do anything with them. They don't have, Bruce Feldman pointed out today, they don't have anybody in the NFL. Like, compared to what USC used to put in the NFL, and I mean even pre-Pete Carroll, they're nowhere near that level of competitiveness in terms of going to a recruit and saying, you'll end up in the league if you come with us. So that's really, that's what we're looking for here. If you're looking for somebody who's going to be able to do that. Urban Meyer could do that. He really could. Now, whether he's the guy that they want for that gig, I don't know. He just doesn't feel like a West Coast guy to me. Like, he could do the job, but he doesn't have, he's got way too much negativity associated with him for a university with a $1 billion settlement for a sexual assault scandal can afford.
Spencer, you mentioned big names. As you look around the country, what are some of the big names already in charge of maybe some name brand programs that would want to be, that would want to leave or could be lured to SC?
I think the names you've seen make a whole lot of sense. Two of them are already associated with State College, Pennsylvania. That's Bill O'Brien, for one. O'Brien has, I think, more of a pedigree that one might expect from a USC candidate in that he's got deep pro experience, but also has a solid college resume. People may have already forgotten what a great job he did at Penn State immediately post-scandal, getting them, you know, off the launch pad and back into a pretty healthy orbit. The other guy who's associated with that job and with USC rumors is James Franklin. And Franklin makes a lot of sense in that he's a monster recruiter, like a monster recruiter. Like, the idea of him in USC doing that job is terrifying to me because he would be so successful at it.
Spencer Hall, one of the leading voices in any college football conversation, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. With Oklahoma departing the Big 12 for the SEC, is Lincoln Riley more or less of a candidate for the USC job, basically remaining the biggest fish in a pond instead of just joining a lot of sharks in the waters of the SEC?
Oh, no, he's not going anywhere. You know, like, I fail to see an institution that's invested as much in him as they have. And there's, thank you. That was my compatriot Holly Anderson in the background. Where was I? Riley Cooper.
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, to me, is going nowhere because Oklahoma will pay whatever. And I don't think competition does not scare Lincoln Riley, not at Oklahoma, especially considering this. Who's the one coming into the SEC who's actually managed to go toe-to-toe with them? It's been Oklahoma. Oklahoma's actually been competitive with the powers in the SEC. So the product they currently have is competitive. That's not the case with Texas. You just watched Texas lose to the fourth, maybe fifth best team in the SEC West. Like, welcome to hell, Texas. This is what you have to look forward to every week. And they got spanked. Like, I know Arkansas has improved, but what Texas is putting on the field right now, that's going to put them in Mississippi State territory.
Why did Texas fall from a blue blood to an almost annual also-ran when they have as big of a war chest to operate from as any school could dream of?
Mismanagement. There's no reason for USC or Texas to be as bad as they have been over the past decade. And the kind of bad that USC has been over the past decade is something that a lot of other teams, like Wake Forest, would kill to have been that bad for a decade. Smaller teams would have, but that's not the standard there, and it's not what you should expect, you know, given who they are, what they've been, and where they are. Texas, which is joining the SEC primarily for financial reasons because it's going to be very lucrative for them, Texas has had its downfall because of mismanagement on so many different levels. I would, like, if you, like, there was this conversation going on it's like a sort of classic cliched college football conversation. What's the best job? Which is insane. If you say, hey, what's the best job? Because the best job means so many different things to so many different people. And Texas was brought up as like a top five job, and so was Alabama. And Texas is not a top five job because nobody's gotten those boosters in line. There are so many different hands that are working the same pot at Texas. There are so many cooks in one kitchen and so many different boosters who have so many different priorities to answer to, and so much money. That's the downside of money. People sort of go, oh, man, they've got so much money. Money doesn't solve anything if there's no brains or ambition behind it. Money can make a program complacent, which Texas certainly was. And then they went from complacent to dysfunctional. And, you know, now they have a coach who is going to probably recruit really well, but then has to develop that talent. And his previous stops, Steve Sarkisian developing talent, has not exactly been a one-to-one correlation between talent and development. He didn't do it at USC all that well, and he really didn't do it at Washington all that well. Feels like 8-4. 8-4 is kind of what they've had. So Texas is an extraordinarily difficult job. Mack Brown at least gains more respect for me in this every year that he's away from Texas. He managed to take that situation and keep it properly calibrated for over a decade. And that, like, think about this. Who did Mack Brown hire as his personal attorney? Do you know the answer to this?
Is it Rusty Hardin?
No, even better. The deceased but great Joe Gemmell. Joe Gemmell, whose name is on the field. If you want to know what a political genius Mack Brown is,
not bad.
One of the best ways to keep everybody happy at Texas was if I took one of the biggest boosters, the guy with his name on the field, and I made him my personal attorney. That's an example of the kind of political machination that he had to do in order to keep everyone happy. Oh, and recruit in the top five every year and win 10 games a year for a decade. That's all. That's all they expect there.
Spencer, we got off on Texas because you brought him up in the loss to Arkansas, and I just had to go there. But the reason why we wanted to have you on, a big part of it, was to talk about just the view of the Pac-12 from where you sit covering college football, because it does feel like a little bit of a perilous moment with USC in this kind of ether right now. Oregon does its job. I think Utah is a really good program. UCLA has, you know, like a phoenix from the ashes, has turned Chip Kelly into one more good story go around here. But the name, image, and likeness feels like the best way back to some relevancy for some of these teams. I don't know if they'll capitalize it on not or not. Larry Scott did as much as a conference commissioner could to ruin the profile of a major conference, and I'm wondering if you think there's any getting it back.
I think you start at ground level. Like, you have to start at the bottom. And there are three programs I know that do that. By the bottom, I mean the fundament. I mean literally wide. You need to start by making your program wider and fatter. We need more fat guys in the Pac-12. Y'all are too fit. Y'all are, like, that's joking, but it's not. The programs in the Pac-12 that are most promising right now are Oregon, they are Utah, and UCLA. And one of the things that all three have in common is that they really tried to beef up the offensive and defensive lines. And that is very, very, like, I like hands-on football. I like trying to teach people, okay, here's what works, here's what doesn't. Those three teams in the trenches are all three really sound. And there's a reason Utah's a hard out every year. They might have a quarterback who's a converted tight end. They might have a wide receiver who is probably going to only catch half the balls you throw to him. But that won't matter because they're able to move weight around the field consistently on defense and on offense. UCLA was able to beat LSU because, if you watch, one of my favorite stats from early in the season, y'all, UCLA, if you take out Zach Charbonnet's 43-yard TD run, they average 4.2 yards a carry. That is perfect on like 40 plus carries. That is brutal football. It wasn't like they got big plays on them and got lucky. No, they shoved LSU around, controlling the game there. So that is one way, is really recruiting offensive and defensive line wherever you have to get them, because without that size, they're not going to be competitive nationally. Best teams are going to be the ones that are strongest along the line. That, thank you. I know I'm just feeding you football cliches, but it's true. That's what's going to get you back to national relevance. The skill players have always been there, right? y'all have people who can make eye-popping high school highlight videos all day, but the renaissance along the line, especially the one that Mario Cristobal at Oregon has embraced, that's got to continue.
I have two questions before we let you go. First of all, can you get Holly to do that again?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I went outside for fear of what else might happen. My two sons are in there, and, you know, we're on the end of like a year and a half being inside, and we're just tailing off. So anytime I can get outside, Ray, I'm going to take, which is why I'm talking to you from my yard.
Which I appreciate, but I still want Holly to do it again. Can she do it from inside and still do it loud enough for us to hear?
We'll get to the second question, and then I'll see if I can make it happen.
Okay. The second question I have is, because college football is so imitative, what's the next big-name coach to get fired during the season?
The next... Oh, man. Okay, so next big-name coach to get fired in season. I'm trying to think of a coach who could get in trouble real fast at a place that doesn't need him. I mean this as a compliment to the program and not necessarily an insult to the coach. Ryan Day, that is a person who, if they mess up and they lose three or four games, Ohio State being as spoiled as they are, you've seen the rule with Ohio State. Ohio State does not need you. You need Ohio State. Ohio State's won with a lot of different coaches. But when push came to shove, they didn't need Urban Meyer. They didn't need Woody Hayes after he punched someone on national TV. They are not the kind who, like, say, in Alabama. I mean, I pretty much think Nick Saban could shoot someone on the field right now, and the Tide would be like, we'll look into it. You know, maybe interim coach or substitute coach will – we'll get the coordinator to coach a game. But, like, Nick Saban could not do that, right? Like, they worship that dude too much, and he's been too good to them. Ohio State, if Ryan Day doesn't adjust the defensive side of the ball there, if they continue to lose like they lost to Oregon at home, you know, Ohio State's clinical. They're not really sentimental about it. You might have done a real nice job so far, Ryan Day, but one bad season might be enough.
Okay. Now is Holly ready?
I believe. Let's see. I'm gonna do this. This is the excitement of live radio here.
Yeah.
Hey, can you do that LSU thing again?
Why did you dive me out on the radio?
I know. They're still on. We're live right now. If you want to do it. No. So yeah, we got to know.
It's a full on no.
Yeah, we got to know.
That's okay.
I'm disappointed. Then I'm not going to tell people that you're at Channel 6 and that's where people should subscribe and follow you guys.
But there you go. You got a little woo in the background there. So there.
Okay.
I appreciate it, though. That's Channel 6. Or you can just go to 26snakes.com.
Spencer, when it comes to college football, my alma mater is the doormat that major college football wipes its cleats off on. I went to Indiana. It was a big year. That's what they told me. And we were down 14-0, 90 seconds at Iowa. Big win over Idaho. Any shot in the dark at all against Cincinnati this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, this is team chaos, right? Are you really going to, like, overreact to Indiana struggling early? Please, please. This is a team that's always struggled. Struggle is the default. It's the success you got to stick around for. I think they do have a chance. I think Michael Penix is the kind of quarterback who can throw three TDs one day and then throw three TDs the next week. That is, to me, the essence of this team. Before they became dangerously consistent, we referred to them as Team Chaos or the Chaos Team, right? They have some competition for that this year in Ole Miss. But, yeah, no. Listen. The Indiana Renaissance, or as one T-shirt that was misspelled put it, Indinia, it's ongoing, my friend.
Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you. Thanks for the LSU Rebel yell that happened behind you there. We appreciate it all.
Oh, hey, anytime. We aim to serve.
Thank you very much. Spencer Hall here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.